Welcome back. I'm your handler, Brad. And again, I'm joined by my two friends, Joe, playing Axel.
Ooh.
And Dave's playing Alice.
That's his Pokemon noise.
Aguilar.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Have we made that joke already?
Because I don't. I haven't exactly heard that yet.
When you said that.
Ooh.
And Dave's playing.
I guess we're just on
Alice.
The same wavelength. Yes. Yes, Alice. How is my Mexican accent? Is it horrible?
I think it's fine. It's gonna be as good as what we're gonna get. We'll see who it bothers later. We might hear about anyone who it bothers. But keep in mind, we are just doing our best and trying to play a pretend game. So
it comes from a place of love.
Comes from a place of love.
Well, this is our second episode. Music from a darkened room.
Yeah.
Thought the last one went pretty good.
Yeah. You know something that's interesting about the way this is starting? This is starting very much more dense on the ground. It feels like, maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like it's starting more dense on the ground, like just like a straight up investigation. Like this feels like an episode of CSI. Like right here
maybe.
At the beginning.
I wasn't there for the beginning of John's.
I don't know. Well, Dace, you were there. What a...
I was talking to Brad on the break, and this scenario feels vastly different from all the other Delta Green operations we've played in the past. Like, it feels more personal. Like, there's personal stakes.
Mm.
Like,
that's always been missing often. Like, there's not typically a human relational element, like, with our handler and stuff. This is...
Yeah, yeah. And Summer, like, obviously there's going to be some bullshit where he's, like, deceiving us or, like, withholding information.
It's the name of the game.
Alice. Yeah, definitely. But, Alice understands that it's, like, his friend that we're trying to sort of not avenge, but sort of... he's looking for some reconciliation or something. And it would make so much sense if Axel just called in his contacts and nuked this house into oblivion. That's the way to solve this situation.
This is this is a bad house, guys. This house is bad.
We have the paperwork.
It's a bad house. It's a bad house.
This is not a good... resume for a house, that's for sure. Well, you're about to
the reason we can't do that is because the way that the story is set up, now the stakes are personal. Like, we need to figure out why this has been happening and, like, stop it forever. Wait, I had more to say about that, but I forgot it.
Well, I think you're onto something, though, because it's like, even from like a Delta Green perspective, yes, nuking it from orbit would be a solution, but you actually, the reason that Delta Green in this situation would do an investigation is to say, all right, we know the house is bad. We need to make sure just the house is bad. We need to make sure something else didn't make the house bad, and it's just going to make the next house bad. We need to figure out this Donnelly, like how many veteran agents are going to be fed to this thing? At least two more.
At least two. I don't know their names.
You know, and I think that's the investigation bit. So it's like, if it's just the house, like, I'm going to tell, like, you know, spoilers. If it ends up, we end up definitively saying, oh, it's just the house has a hex on it, like, Axel is going to be very happy to stand outside and to watch it burn. And also, and I will say, this is maybe more on the gameplay side to talk about, like, once we're, like, hardcore back into it, I did notice that one of the causes of death was a gas leak, which implies that the house has gas, which implies there's a good reason for it to blow up. So, just saying.
I love the way your brain works.
All these are options.
Yeah.
I thought it went smooth I like everyone's characters. Of course, we've met Axel before, but this is the first time we've met Alice Aguilar.
Yeah. Well, Dace, Aguilar. Dace, this is like you had said at the beginning of the last time that this is one of the, and actually before we started the first episode, you were talking about that you had stayed up late last night, like writing out backstory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I was writing out her first encounter with the paranormal.
Ooh, maybe that's some good sanity. Delta Green, some good sanity check info. That's a good place for that.
Oh, yeah, that would be... I don't know, because that probably wouldn't come out organically. Like, it could.
Well, you know, and even like this this shared operation that Alice and Axel had, you know, like, Dace, tell me your opinion, but I feel like Brad should tell us what happened on that operation. Like
Brad breaks out in a cold sweat as his brain starts churning.
No, not necessarily like the entirety of the operation, but just like what happened? Like, why did Axel get injured? Like, why did he fuck up his arm so bad? You know, like, why was Alice there? Were they literally on the mission? Or were they two teams assigned to the same mission that were like working in parallel? Like, I don't know. That'd be a cool thing for like, I would love to kind of hear, because to me, it's like, if me and you got together and did that, well, of course we're going to craft something that we like for our characters. But I feel like Brad, as the handler, as you know, the world builder in this, I feel like that's more in his wheelhouse, honestly.
Yeah.
I knew that.
I would like it if, I think it was understated. I think Axel's arm got fucking mangled, but Alice is such a good, she's got such a high medicine that she like actually saved his arm.
Well, and I don't know if we, that was kind of what I was thinking too. It's like when he's like giving you shit about the scar, it's like, this is like, it would be like, it'd be like someone missing an arm giving the doctor bullshit about the scar. It's like
exactly
like he's not actually giving her shit. He's actually very happy with the fact that he still has not only his arm but also all of his digits, which is even better.
I got my gears turning. Maybe there'll be a flashback in the future.
I'm a fan of a good flashback.
Love
a good
there flashback. Will be a flashback.
Actually, but I have something fresh off the presses from the Twitch chat. Dace's accent is a solid passable, LOL.
That's all we can hope for.
Good enough.
I'll fucking take it. Good enough is what I strive for. That's my life
good
philosophy.
Good enough.
Yeah. Speaking of good enough.
There you go. There you go.
It's a meta joke because his transition is good enough.
It's just good enough.
Let's recap
so good.
On the first episode of Music from a Darkened Room.
Well, it's good that it's Music from a Darkened Room and not Music from a Darkened Rooms, because we did stay in the same room the entire time.
Right.
As is tradition.
Just being
true this
to
is the room
they
were talking about in the module. This
is was the starting room.
We got to meet, I'll do a short recap, we got to meet Axel again and Alice for the first time. I'm going to keep getting her last name wrong, so sorry.
Real quick, I think something that needs to be said. Just in case anyone wants to know, this is not necessarily the same Axel from Impossible Landscapes. The timelines diverged at some point in time.
A divergent universe.
Yeah, like this is not...
You're pulling some Marvel shit.
Well, this guy, he's not like, for instance, he's not the demon that Benji summoned. He's, in this, he's a regular person. Okay.
It's 2017. They've got asked by DG to report to Meadowbrook, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
They promptly go to City Hall and meet their handler, Mr. Summers, over some lunch. He discusses basically the mission. He throws a newspaper, a two-week-old newspaper, that is headline, Spooner, 1206 Spooner takes another victim. In this report, the paper talks about a man by the name of Arthur Donnelly, which you find out DG veteran operative but his day job was also he was reported missing by his ex-wife. She basically calls his work, the FBI, Trenton FBI, concerned. They go to his house, find his cell phone there, left. You know, trace the cell phone movements, see that he's been visiting this 1206 Spooner Ave quite frequently. They go there to find him dead and, quote, looks like a bomb of blood was shot off in the master bedroom. X slit open. No weapon found.
Classic suicide.
Right. which is what the coroner ruled it as.
Laziness got words for this coroner.
just inept. Who knows? Obviously, Mr. Summers didn't like that. Through a little dialogue, Alice fools little humanity out of Summers, more so than you normally find at a handler. That maybe he knew Donnelly for sure. Arthur Donnelly, friends, longtime buddies, or just had one mission together. Who's to say? But Summers more or less put this operation together, Operation Iago. He wants to know what happened to Arthur. Whether it be some DG situation or mundane situation, or it could have, you know, some sort of suicide.
A mundane situation.
Well, I mean,
17 deaths in one house over the span of 60 years. Hey, I'm sure it's mundane.
He slit his throat and discarded of the knife.
Could be.
Who knows? Who can say?
But he pulled you two guys, gal and guy, figure this out.
Okay.
He seems to be pretty willing. The main things y'all asked for is surveillance and a shotgun. And he seemed to be willing enough to do that. You got some information. You got handed a cell phone. I forgot to mention you do have fake FBI badges, but that is all he gives you is the cell phone. Fake FBI badges. Do you have I see that Axel has codenamed Jericho, which would be on his ID. Do you have one for Alice?
Not on my character sheet. Should I add one?
You want, or I could give you one.
Give me one. Give it to me.
Your FBI badge says Agent Sybil.
Sybil?
Yeah.
And this will be your fake identification for official FBI investigation into
So we have FBI cover as yes. Like the FBI is looking into this. Well, he was a member of the FBI, so of course the FBI would be interested.
Right.
Okay. All right. I like this. This is good. This gives us an in. Axel, well, I guess starting off here, Axel will, you know, he's like maybe you know, there's a package there that has our badges, and he's like looking at the badges and stuff. Does it happen to have a sidearm?
There's no weapons.
Damn it. Okay.
But I mean, it's obvious that Axel's ammunition guy, he would have a sidearm. I think we already discussed that.
Would Alice have a sidearm?
She would have a handgun at least because that's in her backstory. Is that she at least is stressed by going to the shooting range? So would have a medium pistol.
Okay.
I forgot about that. Right, and I do have a pistol in my
character. So y'all have sidearms.
Okay. Yeah, Agent Sybil looks like he like hands you the badge and stuff out of the package. Like, all right, so what are we thinking?
Well, we go to Arthur Donnelly's house. See what he has there. Find his keys, storage unit.
I say we just drive by the storage unit real quick. Maybe it's one of those places where you gotta put in a code or you have like a key card. I'm just interested to see what we're looking for.
Okay.
We'll literally drive by and let the handler tell us what it is.
Right, cut out the middle, man.
Yeah.
We know exactly what we are looking for.
Yeah, so I guess we'll... I guess,
what are we driving?
Well, Axel does have the party wagon.
Convertible.
I don't know if driving the party wagon around is a good cover vehicle. The party wagon is a...
Is that a reference?
The party wagon is...
Is that a reference to Kill Bill?
You said that the last time I brought up the party wagon. It is, kind of. It's a big pink van. And that's... you guys actually attempted to buy the party wagon off of Axel when you were in the desert in Las Vegas. It was too rich for your blood.
It just reminds me of the TV edit of Kill Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Party wagon.
The
oh, party oh, yeah. Wagon. Oh, yeah.
Instead of the pussy wagon.
Yeah.
Just like...
All right, so yeah, we'll we just drive by and kind of see what the store... Like, is it one of those places where you have to get through a gate, or can you literally just drive up to the storage units?
You go to what is called Meadowbrook Store. This is a small town. Like I said, on a good day, 15,000. All this is relatively close, like...
On a good day, when 1206 Spooner Street hasn't consumed a bunch of people,
right? Okay, the entire population.
Just ignore that.
So it doesn't take you long to get there.
Okay.
We'll say y'all just had lunch and you are heading out in
coleslaw.
Early afternoon.
Coleslaw. Lots of coleslaw.
You immediately have to shit your pants.
No, Axel's been eating a lot of roughage for a while. He's got a gut of steel.
He's never had this coleslaw.
He's got E. coli.
You go there. It's a little bit on the outskirts of town.
Okay.
It is not fancy at all.
Okay.
Basically, literally just crates sit there. There seems to be... it's kind of surrounded by forest. And you have to go kind of like down, not a long dirt road. You can see, the facility from main road, but you go down there and there's like, remember those like white trailers we had kindergarten in at LaFette?
Okay.
There's like one of those in the front of this.
Hyper-specific reference.
Sorry. that's what is in my head right now.
And so like, do you have to unlock a gate to get to the units, or can you just go get straight to the units?
Can attempt anything. There's a white trailer in front that seems to be like the office area.
Okay.
And there is a gate. The gates are like outward barb facing.
Okay.
It's not, it's has barb around the top, but grass is kind of overgrown. It's not fancy at all.
Okay.
Don't think just from looking at it, it's like a digital pad of sorts.
Okay.
You know, it's probably a old-fashioned key lock.
Okay.
You would think.
I don't know about you, Alice. This place smells ripe. Ripe for a green box.
You make me uncomfortable when you say the word ripe.
he turns his head and looks you, takes his sunglasses off and looks at you with his beady eyes.
Ripe.
Oh, God, it's like when some people hear the word moist.
Oh,
it's just like when you say ripe, it's like that for me.
All right, okay, I won't say it. Ooh, just don't say that wet word.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, we've agreed we're not going to say
that. Episode
words.
Title, That Wet Word.
That wet word. Okay.
I mean, we are here. We could... We have these FBI credentials. We could just go to the office. What day of the week is this? Weekday?
It's,
weekend?
Monday.
Okay. Yeah, let's ride up. Maybe we can flash our badges. Here, let me put on a different shirt.
He takes off his like denim like jacket, I guess, and like puts on something... a little more professional looking, a little more FBI-ish.
Yeah,
he'll take his bandana off as well and kind of put his hair back in a ponytail.
Gotcha.
Look the part.
You're going up to the main office.
Yeah,
Yes. You know.
If nothing else, it will give us an opportunity to see what the security looks like. Like, do they have cameras? You know, nothing else.
Knock on the door. Are you knocking on the door or just scoping it out?
I think we'd go
knocking on the door.
Yeah, I think we want to seem as regular as possible. We're gonna
knock on the door.
Yep.
Freaky door opens. Older 55 lady smoking. Hello, can I help you?
We flash our badges.
Yeah. Agents
FBI.
Agents Jericho and Sybil.
Sybil.
Federal Bureau of Investigations. Are you the owner of this establishment?
Oh, Lord. Brian, it's about that Arthur boy. And she walks away, and you hear from inside the trailer a male's voice says, let him come in, let him come in.
Okay.
Okay.
Walk in. I assume we have to stoop down below the level of all the cigarette smoke to even see where we're going.
Right, right.
Okay.
You smoker. It's very, like, not fancy at all. You know, it's one big room, but there's her desk is out front, and you have, like, a little divider, and you see this dirty, probably mid-40s man just pop his head up. He's got overalls, mossy oak shirt on, and he pops out. He's like, how's it going? He introduces himself. My name's Brian. How can I help you, fellas? And lady, excuse me.
We are here about Arthur Donnelly's storage unit. We need to see the contents. We need to get inside.
Yes, he was a member of the Bureau. You see, we're concerned that he just might have some something that might be dangerous to the premises. We would hate to have to search all the units around here to make sure there's been no theft or anything like that. We really just want to make sure we take care of Arthur's stuff. Get it out of your hair.
What's your FBI name?
Jericho. Agent Jericho.
Jericho.
Jericho. Look, I feel like I can trust this man. Let's just tell him. It's really...
You think we can just... Jesus Christ.
Sybil, he like kind of like... Well, looks around us.
It's in his best interest to get it out of this storage.
I... Okay, listen. Brian, is it Brian?
Brian Migla.
Brian Migla, yeah. Listen, Brian. The cases that Agent Donnelly was working on might have included a little bit of radiation, and I would hate to. I mean, the longer anything is possibly in this location, I mean, that's just going to be deeper. They're going to have to bury this stuff when they come to get rid of it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, this sounds not like intimidation.
It sounds like persuade
more
to
like
me.
Persuade?
Yeah, it's a persuade.
That does seem
for sure.
Like your high stat, so that would be okay.
How's it feel, you son of a bitch?
Hold on, let me make sure I'm getting something straight. All right, just do a straight persuade.
We're just trying to take it off his hand.
We're just trying.
It's a problem.
We're trying to make his life easier, is what we're trying to do. So flat persuade. That's a 31 under 70.
You know, it just you know. And listen, I think we could probably do the EPA paperwork for you. Make sure those other feds don't come down here and bother your operation.
Brian spits into his spits into his like
of course,
little styrofoam cup.
Of course he does.
Gary, get me the sign-in sheet for unit 2230.
2230.
Okay. I appreciate the Bureau appreciates it. Mr. What was it, Brian?
Brian Miglia. Let me type that out.
Miglia. I'll just write it phonetically on my sheet. It's good enough. That's...
Oh, don't thank me yet, fellas. And lady.
It's a gender-neutral term. I think we can just go with guys or fellas. I think it's...
You don't have to say "and lady" every time. It's fine.
I think it's unnecessary. Appreciate it.
Unnecessary.
Well... don't thank me yet, because there's a price on the storage unit. It looks like hasn't been paid in quite some time. The fee, that is.
I see. So,
we got, 1,200 balance.
1,200, huh?
Now, I'm more than willing to, I don't want any business, I don't want to go, you know, I'm a lawful man. I don't want any kind of ruckus, especially if there's a man's death that is involved, but,
And radioactive isotopes.
Never cared too much about TV or sci-fi. But I don't, but I do need this money.
I understand.
And once you fellas go in there, who knows, you take everything... what do I got left?
You're a businessman, Mr. Miglia. I see that. I understand this is your livelihood. Let me make a call. See if I can get someone at the bureau. We might be able to, settle this debt here. Would you give me a moment?
Will do.
Alice is deferring to Axel's judgment, but she is fucking raging. She wants to beat this man to death with his...
So Axel is going to step outside, and when he does, he's going to make an alertness check. He wants to look around, get a real good eyeball, security cameras, like what the... Is it just a key lock to get into the gate and stuff like that as he steps outside and kind of takes an... ogle around.
Okay. Roll the alertness.
Alertness 49 under 50. Close.
Oh, very close. You don't see any security cameras. Like, it's pretty cut and dry. It's just a
fence.
Barbed wire fence around it. The storage units are locked with little bolt lock.
Yeah.
No keypad.
Okay. He kind of mumbles to himself. He pulls out his cell phone. He is gonna call Summers. He's like, he just wants to see if they can get some petty cash, you know, okay, for the purpose of this. Like, if we can just give this guy what he wants, if Delta Green can just provide that, that's easiest. He's kind of mumbles to himself. He's like, smelling more and more like a green box, especially with no surveillance, right? He's like, yeah. So he's gonna call Summers real quick. I know we just talked to him not too long ago.
What is the mechanic for this? If you need money, is there any mechanic? We just wing it.
There are mechanics for making requisitions. I can actually look that up here. So the way it typically works, I don't know if you recall, with Benedict, we had like the idea of like what is a standard purchase versus a non-standard purchase. So. An unusual expense in the book on page 84, it has the list of expenses. Unusual expense, which is like the middle tier, is $1,000 to $5,000. And typically, to request an unusual expense, according to the mechanics, that typically you can get an unusual expense in a few days with a raw, I believe, like a bureaucracy roll? Or is it charisma?
So Axel is outside making a call, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, you can use either your... It says here you can use your bureaucracy, your military science, or whatever the handler says. So if we could get... If we pass a check, we could get, you know, some cash in a few days... Or we could get accelerated to make that roll a little harder, we get it in a day or two. That's what it says here. Or, I don't know, Brad, do you think that either of us would have some cash, or is there anything you would like us to roll to see if we brought some cash with?
Before you do that, I would like to make a luck roll.
Okay.
As Alice feels this well of rage rise within her.
Are you going to try to overcome this?
And I'm thing make, for you to be so...
Wouldn't that be a power roll to control yourself?
You think it's a power roll?
What are you rolling for? Yeah. Tell me what you're rolling for first.
This roll would be to contain her rage.
She hasn't played guitar in a while, you know? And just...
So this roll is just for you to decide what you're going to do next?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll say power.
Okay, so if you pass, does that mean you keep your cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I roll under, that would be a pass?
Yes.
Is that check?
Yes.
All right.
$60/$85.
Okay.
All right, you keep your cool, but you're fuming. I don't know, Brad, like, what do you...
Alice wants to tear this man through.
What do you think would... what do you think there's anything you would like me to roll, like, do, like, a bureaucracy roll to talk with Summers to see if we can get some cash? Or do we want to... Here's actually a good question. What do you think the operational priority is on this operation? You think it's just a normal... It's not high priority or low priority? What do you think?
I mean, it's high for Summers.
High for Summers? Okay, well, that might make things a little easier because that's a part of the kind of the calculation as well.
I'm going to use the restroom real quick. Y'all brainstorm.
Talk about this? Okay. There's also the spending your own money thing. This says here, the stress of spending for an unusual expense, reduce one non-Delta Green bond by one. Because you're basically like, you're like borrowing money from someone or something.
Mm-hmm. There are a few ways we could play this. We don't have to pay him. We could... I thought we already convinced him.
What about this? If your agent is in a wealthy occupation, like perhaps it maybe your agent's a gun runner, you can make an intelligence or an accounting test to see if you have enough money to avoid bond damage. I could see if Axel just has some cash.
I would assume that he does.
You would think. Because it's an unusual expense. It's not a... it's an unusual expense. It's not a crazy one. So, yeah.
It's absurd that we would have to pay for the storage unit. We just flashed our FBI badges.
So what about...
Made a decent case for...
What about if Axel...
I'm going to say...
Go ahead, Brad.
For the push thing...
Your camera's still blocked.
For the push thing, you said there is for a higher penalty... Basically, you can get it faster.
I can requisition it from Summers, and if I want it faster, I can. It takes a penalty. I was actually looking into maybe even paying with it out of Axel's pocket. Was there some mechanical stuff for that too?
Whichever one you want to do, all those are good. Roll what you want. That up to you. All those seem valid to me. I don't think I don't think Axel would have all that money on hand.
Well, like I said, there's a mechanical way to determine if he does or not.
Okay, what is that?
So you can either burn some bond power for an unusual expense, or you can make... This is what it says. If your agent is in a wealthy occupation, he or she can make an intelligence times five, or an accounting test to see if you have the money without burning bond damage. So Axel, he plays around as a gun runner. I think he probably has some cash. Maybe he doesn't have 1,000, though. So I say first, I see the first thing we do is Would you be okay with me talking to Summers? And if Summers says no, then Axel just tries to do his own cache. Okay, you just want to do one?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. If that's the case, then Axel's going to try to spend his own cash. But he's going to pretend he's on the phone. He's going to pretend he's on the phone, you know, to make it look like he's, like, calling up to hire. And he's going to make an intelligence check. Axel's pretty smart. He has intelligence 15. So if I pass this intelligence check, I have the cash on hand and I don't have to spend a bond. If I fail it, I have to spend some bonds. And what I'll say is that maybe, like, I call, like, my sister. Or maybe I call one of my other bond, Staff Sergeant Vasquez, and I call in a debt he owes me. I'm like, hey, remember when I loaned you that $1,000? I need it, like, Venmo'd right now.
See what's going on.
Let's roll the intelligence check. 37 under 75. Axel walks out to
the... Is Vasquez good for it?
Yeah, so Vasquez, instead of like pitching a fit over it, Vasquez is like, yeah, man, no problem. I've got that money I owe you. And,
stand up, dude.
And yeah, so, I'm able to source the cash. So then maybe, I don't know if like I'll walk in and I'll be like, Mr. Migley, do you take plastic?
You see his... he's... Yeah. Right here.
I'm going to make a quick human int on this guy. Is he just trying to squeeze us for money? Does this guy even owe on the unit? I'm now wondering. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Human roll, 56 under 60. What's my read?
You don't think he's lying to you. Especially, he did seem very sincere, since he doesn't want any trouble with authorities. So he's not just going to make up some shit to FBI agents. You think they're on a fee on this storage unit.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, he's going to pull out, like, his burner card, or maybe he has the cash, but he just didn't want to spend it out of his own pocket. He pays the man.
Okay. It is all yours. He says, I would like you to sign in, though. And there is a sign-in sheet for this unit, and you look at it, and it's not... Arthur Donnelly, it says... Second. The... Felix Green.
Felix?
Green.
Felix Green Felix sounds Green. Like a code name for a green box.
Right.
It's what it sounds like. Yeah. Well, so Axel sees that and he just looks down and goes, uh-huh. And is going to then write Felix Green again and just slide it across.
Gotcha.
Does Brian give him a key or something?
Yeah. Hands over the key and you are welcome. The storage unit.
Axel's gonna
thank God for
Axel's
that.
Gonna pitch the key to Alice real quick. It's like, ladies first.
She catches it out of the air and just storms off, infuriated by this bureaucratic bullshit. And then she goes to the storage unit.
You open the storage unit. And
wait,
there is a...
actually, I didn't want to open the storage unit. Let's go do something else instead.
I'll wait here.
Let's go to an Arby's.
Make a call to the governor and complain about wildlife matters. I don't know. Okay, so we're in front of the storage unit.
Yeah. So Axel will, you know, unlock it, and he's gonna open it and kind of stand to the side. He's like, actually, Axel's like, well, I hope this thing isn't booby trapped.
Should we actually make a check on that?
We can. I guess we could roll an alertness, Brad. Does that sound okay?
I mean, this isn't D&D.
Could I roll my demolitions on that? What do you mean, no?
That's for you actually using demolitions, not detecting demolitions.
Fine. Failure for both of us.
Nothing out of the ordinary. It looks like Mark every other...
Yeah.
Looks like every other
fine
box.
To me. Let's go in. Looks like every other box here. Let's go in. We kick open the door. What do we see?
Everything explodes. You twist the key. It's one of those like almost garage type doors. It lifts up. And you guys see a shit ton of stuff in here. I'm just going to read off the contents.
Okay.
See an antique table, sofa bed, two plastic wrapped twin mattresses, and I'll post all this in the thing, three empty biohazard containers, two bags of quicklime, two new shovels, four pairs of work gloves, a hat lamp, 14 empty quarter-sized metal containers of gasoline with four spouts, two empty gallon-sized plastic gasoline containers, three newly minted keys taped together in a piece of cardboard, 400 rounds shotgun ammunition, 12-gauge buckshot, two 10 Mossberg shotguns with several serial numbers ground
nice.
Off.
Nice.
Various fake identifications for Special Agent Donnelly, including a Meadowbrook gas inspector, and one as a Sinsic County coroner. A Nikon lens.
Gas leak death.
These are ID, not like y'all could use, but you know, it has Arthur's
for him.
Photo on. You know?
He might, like, right. Jesus Christ.
Is
there any way you could put this like in the chat or something, like this list?
This is exactly what I'm about to do.
Okay. But this is...
it's a shit ton of stuff. And
Axel will close the door and he just like takes a big whiff and he's like, now this is the smell of Delta Green. A green box with a man's whole career in it. This is how we...
You can tell a lot.
This is how we end up. This is how we all end up.
How a man... stocks his green box.
Yeah. I like the shotguns.
What kind of agent do you think Arthur was?
He's obviously...
Go ahead. Keep continuing.
Oh, he's obviously a field guy. I think we can gather that. Desk jockeys don't need guns. Fake IDs.
No. Gasoline. He's planning to... Possibly one of his contingency plan was to burn the whole fucker down.
He taps the bags of quicklime with his toe of his boot. He's like,
bury some bodies? Dissolve some bodies?
See, I remembered that word I was trying to think of last time. It was sublimate. I typically prefer to sublimate people, which is where you turn them straight from a solid into a gas. That's my preferred disposal method. Arthur prefers something a little more. Pedestrian.
As you tap the quicklime,
I respect him. Go ahead.
As you tap that quicklime, Sax, envelope of what looks to be photos just like sprawls across the floor.
Jack Pot.
Okay, we pick up the photos. What do we see?
Roll, you don't have to roll anything.
hard to get anything from the photos. You can see the interior of a house, but it's like all blurred. You can see that it's obviously indoors, but you can't really tell anything else about those photos.
And does this have? I saw what you put on the murder board. This has notes on it. Notes of his investigation.
Yes. As you look around, you find.
Does he have a corkboard?
Notes. Does he have a what?
Does he have a corkboard?
The note looks sort of like this. Let me upload that. Quick. It's very messy. Roll Doom Int or a psychotherapy.
Humint, it is.
I'm definitely going to do a humint on that one.
Two successes.
Both of y'all are looking at this. Maybe you've seen this before. I mean, Alice has obviously maybe been in the ER when people are... Rick, Axel's maybe seen this. You can tell he's distraught. He was in a frantic state, if not psychotic, when writing this. It's hard to make out. It's just like, yeah. Almost looks like, you know, you see stuff like Tyr equals not dead, roaming the house, shovel gloves, hand lamp, cash, ? Burn it, ? Wheeler furniture, books, papers, ? Estate. It's very, you know, quickly written down. Again, burn Wheeler.
Wheeler is one of the names of the people who died.
Yeah,
the deceased. That's one of the first people that died, right?
I mean, what y'all can read, I can read.
Right.
I see. Maybe talk to it tonight. Stuff like that. On
talk there. Talk to survivors. Canadian mental health laws. What?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
I'm just gonna make this a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Someone else in house. Her name. Isari. Isari not returning calls, but someone else in house. Talked to it tonight. Knew my name. Knows I'm watching it. Still no
movement.
Open house next week.
Open house next.
Buy it, burn it. Axel. As Axel's kind of like, we're looking at this note card together. Is the note card like, you know, in the image here, it's like, is the note card like taped to like the side of the storage unit or something? Like he's got all this shit laid out.
What note card? Sorry.
Like this, his notes.
No, this is crumbled. Okay. It's not taped to the side. It's in some other, like a manila folder. This seems to be like his craziest. You can glean more from if you look at some of his other notes. What you've put together is basically I'll just read essentially what y'all glean once you get past the crazy writing. Basically, Donnelly had been kind of heard stories of Spooner Ave House because he's a local here from a child, but he never really thought it as actually something going on, whether it be paranormal, right, or DG related, till Amanda Bantry's death a few years back. Investigating the house under the guise of a would-be buyer, Donnelly found himself actually considering purchasing it. But like cold, he shook the strange, unnatural attraction off. He sent word up to Delta Green and waiting. You see this in the notes. Basically, same thing Summer said. But it seems Delta Green never replied to him.
Could you move the note down a little bit so we can see the list of the people who died again, please?
Amanda Bantry. Amanda. Is that who you're looking for?
Yeah. Died in 2007.
So it seems he's been...
Should be 10 years ago.
He's been... So, you know, he's been at looking at this longer than Yamela Isri, who was the last owner, who died the exact same way as him. He's been looking to it for a while. His notes resume when Yamela Isri, the last owner, entered the picture. But they're haphazardly and disjointed. Donnelly tried to dissuade her from buying it. You can see it in his notes.
Did he buy it? Because it looks like he was thinking about it. Did he actually pull the trigger? Or can we tell here?
In his notes, you can tell that he thinks... He seemed to be aware that something weird was going on. He seemed to had an unnatural fascination with the house. And he noticed that in Yamila's personality. He couldn't convince her to not buy the house.
Alice, this is bad. This house is bad.
The last few pages are filled with increasingly bizarre statements written almost like math equations. They don't seem to be in any pages. Paint a picture of a man bent on a single purpose, uncovering the secret of 1206 Spooner Ave.
I'm just going to write on my notes. I'm going to write bad house.
Bad house. This is a bad house.
This house is bad.
Of course it's bad. This is why Summer called us in.
This thing. If this is... All right. Okay, hold on. Let's slow our roll here. Our man, Donnelly. He might have just gone regular old crazy here. It is a possibility, but this list of bodies makes me think maybe not. And
be realistic, Axel. There's no chance he was crazy. He was affected by something.
He holds up the thing. He's like, well, I mean, he got there in the end, but I think you're right. I think this house. What the hell is this? Okay, so at one of the things that you put on the thing, it's at the bottom. It says a crumbling 4-foot-long wooden coffin covered in recent
dirt.
As
you are discussing this, you do see this under the bed, antique table, sofa bed. You see what looks to be a coffin exactly like that, covered in recent dirt.
Axel?
Hey, Alice.
You see what I'm seeing?
Alice, here, you take this shotgun, and I'll take this one. And here you go.
Take the shotgun. You take the shovel. I'll cover you.
How about we both take a shotgun? Here you go. Here's some slugs. Like, I love this. These are like two veteran agents who are just like, fuck this.
No, some shit.
All right. Like, Axel is going to, he's like, okay, you stand back a bit. I'm gonna pull this baby. He's gonna kind of knock on the coffin with his boot. Hello?
You just knock on it?
Well, like with my boot, he kind of kicks it a little bit. Hello? He's gonna
knock louder, Axel.
Oh, hello, FBI.
Still nothing.
He's gonna, like, is there like a handle or like something he can like kind of pull it out from underneath this futon or whatever it's underneath?
If you try to open it, it's already been opened. You don't have to use a pry bar or anything.
Well, he's gonna like try to pull it out from under the bed. He doesn't even want to begin to open it yet. Let's see. Wait, did you say it's underneath an old bed?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the furniture from the Wheeler house? I'm wondering, because that's what he has on his notes, the Wheeler estate furniture. I wonder if this is the Wheeler stuff.
Roll a... what do you think you'd roll to try to...
intelligence, maybe. I don't know, like, maybe I can... Or alertness, like, maybe I can find, like, their name on something. Like a creepy family portrait with Wheeler family written underneath
it. I'd be more inclined to create intelligence.
Yeah, okay, I'll do intelligence then. 71 under 75. He's a smart guy.
Nice.
This furniture is not dating back to 19.
Okay. Doesn't seem to be related.
And maybe it came from the house. Who knows if it came from the house, but it doesn't seem to date back that far.
Okay.
That far, well, and doesn't seem to be anything abnormal about it.
Well, he's gonna reach down and pull out this coffin out from underneath it, and then again is gonna like hold the shotgun down towards the coffin, and is again gonna use his boot. If the lid is already off, it's gonna ease the lid off and let it slide to the floor.
Ease the lid off of this coffin. Dust goes everywhere. What you see is basically child's body. Wow, so long. It doesn't smell. It's essentially mummified.
Great. Fantastic.
This on the head. Anton Tuer, 1957, 1960s. Black. You guys are going to have to roll a sanity check.
Christ on a dead bike.
This dead, mummified child.
Is that what kind of sanity damage is that?
Not violence, I wouldn't think.
How dare you? How dare you do this to me? Let me look and see. So I actually think that seeing a corpse does fall under sanity, violence, sanity damage. This is the part where I dig right into the old.
Also, Brad, what was the name?
He posted it underneath the. It's Anton Tuer, T-U-R, with the apostrophe over the E.
Finding a corpse or mangled carcass falls under violence.
A mummified corpse falls over a bomb.
Lawyer.
Find a mutilated corpse of an infant or loved one. Falls under there. That's all I'm saying. You know?
His name is not on the list, nor his surname.
No.
This is the first.
It's not, but it is in the crazy note from Donnelly right at the top. Ture, not dead? Question mark.
Is he the? Oh fuck! Is he like the one that's inhabiting this? That's metagamey. I don't know.
It ain't that metagamey. I mean, Axel is going to be like, he's like Lord Almighty. Donnelly, what the hell have you done?
Why would Donnelly have the body of a dead child?
He dug it up.
And what do these notes mean?
He dug this shit up. Look this name. Anton. Ture? It's involved somehow. Why the hell did he take this kid out of the ground?
Did he perform some sort of examination on it? That's the only reason I ever take corpses out of the ground.
That's definitely in your wheelhouse. Why don't you take a look at that?
Alice sort of grimaces and...
Don't you have some mask and gloves in that kit?
I was going to ask if there are... Yeah, probably. Yeah. I've got a kit. I've got gloves.
What are you trying... You're going to examine the corpse?
Yeah. She's gonna dive in there, see what she can see.
Axel, while she's doing that, Axel's gonna roll a search check just in the storage unit. See if there's anything hidden or otherwise notable.
Axel is
search. He rolls his search.
There's shovels, presumably, what he
used
to dig up this thing.
You know, we got lime.
Wait, there's two shovels?
There are two new shovels.
Two new shovels, okay. I got a successful search. 49 under 50.
You don't see anything beyond what you saw. I mean, don't overlook, we got your shotgun here. 400 rounds of ammunition.
It's a lot of ammunition.
And two new Mossberg shotguns with serial numbers grounded off. Everything's there that you see. Various vague identifications. I don't think you could use that. These photos that you can't really distinguish what's going on. It's inside of a house. They're blurry. Some of them burned.
Something here. Alice, I hate to interrupt you in the middle of your very delicate work there, but...
Before you get to that...
go ahead.
Or maybe right as you're getting out. Alice is looking at her... corpse. It's mummified. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's very hard to tell anything out of the ordinary. This, if you're assuming this is the same body as it says on the plaque, I mean, been dead since 1960.
Yeah, that's not long enough to be mummified. Like, who mummifies people in 1960s?
There's no odor. There's no smell. It's...
And also, we do have the Adam and Rebecca Touré family. They're on the list. This must be their son.
But as you look closer, Allison, there's a split second, and you look back up at the face, and it's not a mummified face anymore. It's a bloated... face. Looks like it's been in water days of a dead child. Roll sanity check.
Okay.
All right.
That would be
success. She's stone cold.
Back.
She's solid.
A super flash, and you see like this bloated face as soon as you start to touch the body and move.
That unfortunate child there wouldn't have happened if I had his throat cut, would he?
No. I think he might have drowned.
Wow, you're good.
Yeah, it's just a feeling that I have.
Alice, two shovels, two shotguns, a lot of twos in here. I don't think Donnelly was working alone.
Do you think it was Summer?
Now that's a thought. Maybe he's even closer to this thing than we know.
Oh, fuck.
We gotta turn this fucking green box over. All this shit. What the hell's with these keys? Wait, it has something written here by the key on this piece of cardboard. It has an address. It says, I don't know if the handler meant to give that particular piece of information, but we probably would have figured it out anyway. I think these must be keys to Spooner Street.
Yes, they say them on the paper.
Last thing, Alice. Check out this fake ID here with our man Donnelly's picture on it. This assistant coroner ID.
Why would they be posing as an assistant coroner?
Real handy to cover up the cause of these deaths, don't you think?
Yeah, but why?
I don't know. I say we go check out the man's house.
Yeah, well, we were headed there anyway. This was a pit stop.
A happy little accident. Should we leave the kid?
Wouldn't it be weird if we took the corpse with us?
We can always back the van up and just load shit up. We're definitely taking these guns.
Yeah, the guns, the gas, the ammunition. We need to take all of it.
You know what's weird to me?
Aside from everything?
Like we're standing over the coffin. He's like, you know what's weird?
This withered child's corpse. No, tell me, Axel, what is weird to you?
Check this out. Two shotguns. Two shovels. Two mattresses. Three biohazard containers.
Are these like body bags? Or are these just like bins?
I assumed it was bins.
Three biohazard bins. I don't think this stuff is in it. And by the way, three keys to the house. There's at least one other person involved. Maybe two.
Sounds like we have some questions for Summers.
We got ourselves a good old-fashioned conspiracy.
Don't we always?
Don't we always?
Yes, that is a great spot. All it.
All right.
War is unwinding.
More intrigue.
History unfolds.
I love it.
All right, guys.
Yeah. Brad.
Thanks.
Look at Dace. Look at Dace.
I just like what? This is a classic point.
This is it.
Info dump. Like, okay, I'm officially confused and confounded. Great job, bro.
Stuff for you to think about.
You've confounded me.
Yeah.
Some things to think about.
Some things to think about.
Yeah.
But guys, all right. Thank you for joining me.
God, thank you, Brad.
Adventure.
You know, Dace, when we play characters that aren't so wacky and that are supposed to be veterans and more down to earth, we get a lot more done.
You're not wrong. But even so, I find myself, like, before we brainstormed characters the other night and we were thinking about who to play, I was thinking about bringing, what's his name from the operation with the spores, and we wound up blowing the whole place.
Yeah, God, I can't remember his name now. I know you're talking about, though.
He was just so efficient, so smart, so strong, so good at everything. And he was also, I played him like a little bit autistic,
yeah.
So he just went straight to the heart of the matter. Like, that's the man for this.
He wasn't
operation.
The best at interrogations, but God, was he good at getting shit done.
Yeah, he's so good. He was so just...
We've actually got... Pumpkin Cakes says, a good episode, guys. Brad is an excellent game manager.
Agreed.
And then,
Here, here, so say we all.
So say we all. As in Paris says, let the confusion begin. Outstanding. All right.
I hope y'all have fun watching me get more... progressively frustrated at my own ineptitude.
Yeah. Mace will continue to roll to see if he completely loses it.
All right, guys. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much. Tell a friend about us. Leave us a positive review. Really helps us out. You really like what you hear? Hit us up on Patreon. Support us. It really helps us to keep doing this kind of stuff. But besides that, Brad, again, stellar job.
Great stellar job to y'all as well.
Yeah, great job, Brad.
Yeah, good job with Alice, man. I love Alice. Alice is really fleshing out.
Well, thank you for that. I'm trying too hard. All right, Brad.
All right, guys, stay safe and stay sane.
later.
Bye.